B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good enough.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the Fanatic Morning Show. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. Day four of Bunker Broadcasting. And, you know, it's a little sadder for me today in a sports context because today, in all honesty, is my favorite day of the year. Usually, opening day. And wouldn't you know it, Trey, as I reached for a shirt today in the dark in my room as Toots was still sleeping, I pull out a shirt, get into the bathroom, turn the light on, put the shirt on, and reveal to myself that just out of strict coincidence, it's last year's opening day t-shirt. What are the odds? What are the odds, my friend?
We didn't get opening day t-shirt, Jamie?
I think we missed those.
Yeah, we
did. Damn it, man.
In all honesty, I believe it was like on a desk at NBC, and nobody picked it up by the end of the day. So that meant it was mine now.
There you go.
That's how I think I got this shirt. I don't think the Phillies sent it to us or anything like that. But
we were more concerned with the Michelob Ultra intake than t-shirts last year.
Yeah, I know. But that t-shirt would have been nice to kind of bring it all in.
Yeah.
as a souvenir.
As a
Michelob Ultra.
Yes.
How many do you guys think you drank last opening day? A year ago today, essentially. Let's just say that. In honor of your Michelob Ultra consumption, how many do you think you downed there, Bob Cooney?
I downed a few, but I went over to the Sixers game early, so I think they were combined in their 30s, and I was in the low single digits.
Trey, they got nine in.
You, I guess tomorrow, Friday, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of you discovering Michelob Ultra, and really being like, man, that's a tasty beverage.
Yes. Yeah. It was a beautiful day, beautiful weather day, and we went out, and I think we had the knockout challenge that same night.
Yeah.
With the Sixers. Yeah, I couldn't even make the challenge. I was done. And, that was it. Wow. It was good times.
Simpler times, right, guys? Simpler times. So we did a broadcast from a studio that day. Oh, my goodness. Good times. Jamie, I think you were outside the ballpark. Were you not? Were you and Andrew doing a show?
I think we did, actually.
Yeah,
I can't remember. Probably something to do with all the Michelob Ultras.
This is my favorite day. Opening day is my favorite day, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to the season starting today. I was definitely in that school every single baseball season, and every single year I look forward to opening day, the new beginning. Usually we'll play the James Earl Jones sound from Field of Dreams, baseball rolled on like an army of steamrollers and all that. And today we don't get to do that. But I do want to talk about some great memories. And that was a great memory, some Michelob Ultras that you guys got to indulge last opening day. But I do want to ask people today about their great memories. When it comes to sports, it doesn't necessarily have to be a game itself. I don't want it to be based on a championship, whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's anything like that, a World Series, a championship deciding game. But just your best sports memory, your favorite sports memory. Just because I want to continue to have the good vibes going on this show, and I know we can't talk about baseball itself. We will talk about what baseball is doing as opposed to having opening day, and that involves Rhys Hoskins. We will have Charlie Manuel on the show today at 8:30, and it feels great to say that for a couple of reasons. One, we all love Charlie. When do you not want to talk to Charlie, right? And when does he not make the good vibes felt throughout the Delaware Valley? But the other is, it feels good to say that because Charlie had a bit of a health scare earlier in the year, and he's back on his feet. He's doing great. He was in the hospital for over a week, And he had many visitors. He still gets a lot of calls, checking up on him. And he takes his morning walks with his wife and all that. And Charlie's going to be on the show today to help those good vibes going. So it feels good for just to talk to Charlie. And then also under the circumstances for his own personal health, it feels good to talk to Charlie again. So he'll join us coming up at 8:30. 9 o'clock today, we'll talk some hoops with Mark Jackson. This is interesting. There's a tie into baseball here as well. Because last night on NBC Sports Philly, they did a NBA 2K simulation game, so nobody playing, of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, my favorite thing that was pointed out from the game last night, that due to a glitch in the game, at one point, the mascot of the Timberwolves ran directly through the body of Shake Milton. I don't know if you saw that or not. Yeah.
No.
Shake Milton was okay, though. That was in the, I don't know if you call it the box score, the game recap, I guess.
Okay.
And then today, at I believe 4:10, Rhys Hoskins is going to be playing MLB The Show against the Marlins.
Nice. Against Marlins players or versus the Marlins in the game?
He's playing against a member of the Marlins. The name's escaping me at the moment. I've been brain farting already.
That's cool. I like that.
Okay, so they're going to be live streaming that on YouTube so people can get their thirst quenched for MLB opening day via video games today. But when you talk about the good vibes, when you talk about your all-time favorite sports memory, I want you guys to think about it because, Trey, somebody told me last night, maybe somebody posted it on Facebook or whatever it was, that they were replaying Super Bowl 52. And I thought, perfect time for everybody in our area. So I flipped it on. It was at a commercial. I then got pulled away. Lil Toots was up to something, so I had to go assist her. And when I came back to the TV, I think Toots just had changed the channel. But I put it back on. Didn't get to watch a lot of it. And then I come back to the TV this morning. I turn it on. It's still on the NFL Network. And your Super Bowl is on, Trey.
Uh-oh.
And,
wow.
Yeah. So I took a...
How was that?
I
still haven't watched that game.
You still haven't watched your Super Bowl?
No.
Yeah, I guess why would you want
to? That's amazing. Not that I played in it, but I only recently watched highlights of it. I never watched a replay of it either.
I caught it this morning just as Donovan was throwing the touchdown right up the middle to Brian Westbrook, who was lined up in the slot on the play. And B. West made a cut that no Patriot had a chance staying with him on, right across the middle of the field, up for the touchdown, man. And I think that was what made it 14-14.
There was great blocking on that play, Mark. Tremendous blocking on that play.
You know what?
From the left side.
The left side, not for nothing, Trey, and Bobby make a great point. The left side held its ground. Somebody didn't pick up the blitzer on the right side of the line of scrimmage, which is why Donovan had to throw off his back foot right down the middle of the field to B. West for the touchdown.
Huh.
But yeah. You say, Trey, that you only remember losses. Mm. What do you think of when that game comes to mind?
That we lost. Yeah, at the end, just like how everybody, on their side was celebrating and just how we felt walking off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what would stick with a lot of people. But on the flip side of that, Trey, when you think of just great sports memories, what's the first great sports memory that comes to your mind?
Just getting drafted here, I think, is like one of the first like highlights of my career, especially professionally. When I think about college, just when we would beat like a major, like one of our I'm drawing a blank right now, one of our rivals, when you beat like Florida, Miami or something like that. But for me, it was just definitely getting drafted here.
Yeah, and then telling the Eagles to hold on because you got a party.
Hold on. You don't want to see me right now in the state that I'm in.
This is not a good introductory thing.
No, it's not. It's not. Because, I've been hanging out. It's been spring break down here in Daytona, and right now would not be a good time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I understand what you're saying. the reason we're going to try to get these thoughts going today is because opening day is postponed. And I really do urge every sports fan out there, as optimistic as I want to be about the return of the season, and Bob and Jamie, I know we've talked about this a little bit already, every time they propose a start date or a hopeful target date, I don't think you could be any more vague than saying a hopeful target date, like Commissioner Manfred is saying right now with Major League Baseball and some of the other owners in the NBA or NHL are talking about right now. But I don't think you could be any more vague than a hopeful, quote unquote, start date. You're talking about mid-May with Major League Baseball. If they started Major League Baseball, and ESPN put some numbers together here, if they started Major League Baseball on May 15th, so literally smack dab middle of May, if they started it on May 15th, you're talking about a 130-game season, possibly. These are potential lengths of the season. If you go 2 weeks after that for June 1st, you're talking about 15 fewer games, 115 games. They accounted for as little as a 75-game season. And there are some thoughts out there as to how they could possibly play more games. And, Bob, I don't know where you stand on this, but there's a lot of talk about having multiple doubleheaders out there in baseball. I am 100% against that. I don't think that is fair at all to the players. As a fan, if they're selling tickets to both games, I guess that's how they'd work it. I don't know. But when it comes to just the game itself, are you for doubleheaders, more doubleheaders in the schedule? I'm usually for that, generally speaking. When you got 162 games, you could spread it out a little bit different. But stockpiling doubleheaders to have like doubleheader Mondays in baseball or whatever it would be, I don't think that's the way to try to make up baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's not going to lend a good baseball, and it's because of how these players are groomed anymore. You know, back in the day, you would schedule five doubleheaders a year because pitchers would go seven, eight, nine innings all the time, no matter what, you know. Nowadays, you're having guys that are on the 100-pitch count, and you just can't afford to have that many arms throwing that many innings all the time. I don't think it's a good idea. I'd rather see them just cut down the season game-wise. Let it play out normally. If you have a 75-game season, so be it. But don't pile on doubleheaders, two a week or anything like that. It's going to make for really bad baseball.
Yeah, that's going to, Jamie, if you're watching the Phillies' rotation this year, are you really going to want to watch the back end of that rotation in two games in one day?
Well, I'm torn because from the fairness aspect, it's not right. But from the selfish, I like sports and I like doubleheaders aspect, I think that'd be awesome if we had a doubleheader to look forward to every week. So I'm kind of on the fence on that. Like, I understand you're going to be throwing out a Ranger Suarez in game two or whatever, maybe even worse than that. But it's two baseball games in a day. So I miss doubleheaders personally. I always love a full day of baseball. So.
Oh. Usually I do too, but when you're trying to pack them in to get to, yeah, let's say 100, let's say you're going from 85 games, which is what it could be if you start the season on July 1st. Let's say you're trying to do that to get to 100 games. I'm out. I mean, that's unfair to the player.
Yeah. I mean, it probably is unfair, and I'm more on that side, but I wouldn't hate watching a doubleheader once a week.
Yeah, Trey, that'd be like adding another game to the regular season of football without another bye week. You know, who would think of that?
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, would you see more injury with the players? I mean, I know this year, last year was a lot of injuries around the game. So you're going to put more stress on the players. I wouldn't want to see a lot of more doubleheaders. I would at least, if whatever extension that you have to put on the season, allow that to put it on the tail end and just allow the season to go a little bit longer instead of it creating more games.
You know what I wonder about is if Major League Baseball has to play, say, 115 games, if we're lucky enough to get baseball by June 1st, they go 115 games and the players come out and say, oh, we loved it and it's good baseball. And the fans say, we loved it too. You wonder if they start thinking about cutting down the 162-game season to get better baseball. Now, I know the revenue and I understand all that, but 162 games, I think we can all agree, is just way too much, especially with these injuries piling up the way we see they are.
Yeah, I think that's what it's come down to. I mean, ultimately, I'd love to see them shrink the time it takes to play an actual baseball game. But yeah, 162 games, I think a lot of people look at it and go, okay, well, hold on. You play all these games and then sometimes it doesn't even matter in September. Yeah, I think I'm good on it. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this affects the NBA. when in terms of the people that have wanted to start the season later in the year, started on Christmas Day. This is going to be interesting to see how this affects Major League Baseball when it comes to playing fewer games. As a lot of people, Bob, as you just did, kind of argued that point of having fewer games anyway. So this is going to be a good test run for a lot of different people that really wanted to shorten the season in baseball or push the season back in the NBA. The ripple effects of all this is going to be interesting. But on the note, Jamie, that you got into a second ago with just selfishly loving sports.
Yeah.
I still can't believe the amount of people that didn't like Shefty's idea yesterday.
Really? There was pushback on that?
There was pushback. Really? Right after the show, I'm seeing on Twitter, everybody loving up on the idea that Adam Schefter proposed, which was the Hanukkah draft, basically, is what we'll call it, which is a different round of the draft every night for a week. All right? So you go a full week. Nothing. There's nothing not to like. Everything.
Especially during this quarantine period.
Everything to love about it. People are saying, oh, who's going to watch rounds through five through seven? I'll answer that. Everyone. All right? Let's not, Trey, let's not forget, they put guys like you working out on TV called the Combine, and people watch that. People are going to watch the draft. You know why? For a couple of reasons. One, their teams are going to talk. Others, there's going to be guys analyzing the guys that are picked. There's going to be highlights of it. Bob, you talked about doing something fun wrapped around everything, whether it's highlights of a Super Bowl, whatever it might be in between picks. They're going to be breaking down every single player as they do every single year. And people are talking about it as if you have to have round one be the same television programming as round seven on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be shorter. It might be only a two-hour broadcast or whatever, as opposed to like a four-hour broadcast. I'm watching that. You know why I'm watching it? Not only am I a sports fan, there's nothing else on. By then, a month from now, I'll be done Tiger King. There'll be nothing on TV. I'm going to watch the draft then. That's what I will be watching. How is that a bad idea, even a little bit, Trey?
No, not at all. I mean, and then it'll give you a chance to see some highlights. You can see some of these college guys when they're getting their names selected, and then you'll see their highlights and all the big hits and plays that they made, and you're like, there we go, sports again.
Yeah, first off, it's supply and demand. I mean, people are demanding sports right now because there isn't any. So it would be a perfect plot there. Plus, think of it. If we're still in quarantine or even partially in quarantine, people will build games around it. They'll have virtual parties around it. You can do betting around. I mean, it could help in so many ways, not just mentally, but maybe the economy a little bit. You're talking people could bet on picks, on whatever. You know, like you could have – the NFL could just draw in as many fans as they have. They could draw in even more if they did something like this.
People are betting on the weather currently.
Yeah, right.
Definitely bet on the NFL draft.
The forecast, I believe, today was sunny and 60. It's supposed to be a nice day today.
I got a nice parlay set at over under 61.5 with a slight chance of showers. Big payout with that slight chance of showers in there. Bob, that's why you gamble on it.
Hold on. I gambled on total sunshine, not a cloud in the sky.
Jamie, as in the words, immortal words of Bob Costas, it's all BS, but it's good BS.
Yeah.
I'd never ask you this, but did you bet on the weather?
I didn't. Oh. But I did hit on Aussie rules football and some Belarus soccer over the weekend.
Well, good. I'm happy for you. That's great.
I think Belarus finally canceled their soccer league, but that's the depths from which people are going.
Now, there's another thing that I want to get into with that.
And also, Mark, guess what I got?
What's that?
A sumo handicapper.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, a guy that listens to us named Samuel Kravitz is a huge sumo fan.
And that's still going on?
I believe so, yeah. And he sent me his picks, so he handicapped sumo wrestling for me.
Oh, you must share.
I will. I got to find out when the next match is.
Yeah, we got to figure this out.
Because I want to stream that. I would actually stream that.
Yeah, I'd watch. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And then you have to pronounce correctly the name of the sumo wrestler you bet on. That'll be the next part of it.
So sumo wrestling is pretty much offensive line play, I believe. You know,
you get
down in the stance, and it's about pushing the guy out of the circle.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But you have to wear a diaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, catch. All right.
It's like a thong diaper.
Yeah, it's like a thong. You have to wear a thong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trey, was that the point where you're like, I think I'll go to the NFL instead of being a sumo wrestler?
Pass on that one. I'm gonna pass on that one.
The diet seems great, but I think I'll just go with the.
But it was the thong. The thong did it. Yeah,
thong diaper.
Yeah,
that was the deal breaker. There was one more thing.
People will gamble on the NFL draft, Bob.
Yeah, no question.
There was one more thing that Adam Schefter brought up yesterday, and I'm kind of ready to start wrapping my head around this. And like when we first got quarantined, essentially, whether it was self-quarantine, self-isolation, whatever you want to call it, people were like, well, you know, this helps Ben Simmons because of his back injury, and it helps the Sixers, and this better not save Brett Brown's job and all that stuff. And I just wasn't ready, and I'm still kind of not all the way there yet. But Schefter kind of, he brought up a really interesting point yesterday about how the Eagles have a big advantage here in the NFC East. You got new coaches everywhere else. You got the same coaching staff here in Philadelphia. These guys know each other. You have the same front office in place here in Philadelphia as well. The Eagles are going to have a huge advantage. And right out of the gate, Schefter's just saying, the Eagles have to win the NFC East, right? Like, that's a huge advantage for them. Forget about personnel right now and just the players on the field and all that. That obviously matters once the season starts. But in terms of implementing their new scheme, I mean, not only do you have new coaches, you also have one guy who's never been a head coach before in our own local product, Joe Judge, taking over the New York Giants. So think about the advantage that the Eagles have when other teams can't meet in the traditional ways that the Eagles have already done for, what, 5 years now? That's a huge advantage that the Eagles are going to have. We're going to talk about that as the show goes on today. I do want the good vibe. So if you have your favorite sports memory, maybe it's even a personal memory. Maybe you hit a home run in the eighth grade. I don't know. But I want to get the good vibes going here, right? But on a negative note, all right, not to put a crashing halt to that conversation, I don't think this is ever going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. But, Trey, I've maintained this stance for a long time now. The Eagles are never going to go to the Kelly Green uniforms again. There might be one day where they honor the 60 team again, like they did 10 years ago now in Michael Vick's game where he came in for Kevin Cobb against the Packers. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe it will ever be a regular alternate jersey for the Birds. And this conversation came up again yesterday as Bruce Arians brought up the idea of changing the one shell rule in the NFL, where you can only have one helmet, and the helmet has to match whatever the uniform is.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe it's ever going to happen. The Eagles have said in the past that's what has been the holdup here, because you can only have one shell. And now they're proposing maybe two shells in the NFL. People thought that this might lead to the Kelly Green uniform coming back, because the Eagles have stated, Jeffrey Lurie has stated point blank, that's been a big holdup. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ever happening. I've heard guys, Trey, Jason Avant told us flat out that Jeffrey Lurie does not like the Kelly Green, and I don't think it's ever coming back. And I hate to shoot down that vibe that people have. And you would think after the Eagles won a Super Bowl in midnight green, this conversation wouldn't matter. But anytime it gets even a hint of conversation, it picks up like wildfire, and all the websites pick it up and they start writing about it. People start clicking on it because they want the Kelly Green back. Trey, do you ever think it will be their alternate jersey?
No, I don't think so. But everybody always wants what you can't have.
Mm.
Yeah, that just is what it is. That's just like with Tampa Bay. They want the old school orange, you know. So, it's not going. It is what it is. Like, our alternate jersey is the black. I personally like the black jerseys. The Kelly Green is fire, though. But, you know, it is what it is.
Now, Bob, I'm gonna ask you this question, because you are more familiar with the Kelly Green than I am, than Jamie is, for instance.
That's not even.
You're more experienced in terms of the Kelly Green. That's all
seasoned.
I'm saying. You're seasoned.
There you go.
That's
Trey.
All. That's
seasoned.
All.
I like that.
You got a couple of years on Jamie, and whatever, Trey. But when it comes to the Kelly Green, is this something you think people should be over, or is this something that the Eagles need to embrace again?
Nah, embrace it. I love the Kelly Green. I love
there
that
you
color.
Go.
I did. I really love that color. I would love for it to be their, what do you call it, third jersey or whatever, alternate jersey.
Yeah.
I love the Kelly Green. I wouldn't mind it coming back. Some gray pants. Oh, man, that'd be
silver wings. Would you go silver wings or would you go white wings?
No, I'd go silver wings. I never liked the white wings. I'll go silver wings, yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Malcolm Jenkins also did an interview yesterday with John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Had some interesting things to say about filling the role of Malcolm Jenkins. And, Jamie, this made me think of you because you made this point yesterday. There's no more free safety position on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
There's only, quote-unquote, hybrid cornerback. And we'll get that in a second. And hybrid defensive back. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show today. Step aside, Dick Pound. A new great name has emerged in sports. What?
You can't just tell Dick Pound to step aside.
Oh, I just told him. I just told that guy that shoots from the hip that we heard about. Yeah, he can step aside for a damn second. There's a new great name in sports. Yeah, well, you know, when you're dealing with Dick Pound, you can't be timid. All right? You get owned if you're dealing with Dick Pound and you're not aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. Thank you.
All right. I did my research. But there's a new great name in sports. And, Jamie, you did uncover it. God bless you. Anna Horford continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. And according to the most recent breakdowns, the Eagles' newest corner, Nickell Roby Coleman, who is a game-changing corner, and we'll get to that in a little bit here.
That was a great signing.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what you got. Darius Slay and Nickell Roby Coleman, they're basically free. That's basically how that worked down, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We never got into this yesterday. I never thought Doug Peterson would be described with this word, but we'll get to it in a second. It's an interesting thing. But when we come back, Bob, Jamie, Sam, ultimate sports memories. This could be a personal one, or this could be one that you got to share in a professional sporting event. We'll talk about it in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, who doesn't want a greener weed-free lawn? One that's safer for your family and your pets. You got to choose Natural Lawn of America if that's what you want. That's my lawn care company of choice. Natural Lawn uses safer, organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. It creates safer lawn for you, your family, your pets, your neighbors. It's just great. The Natural Lawn company, they do a phenomenal job because they don't sacrifice beauty for safety. For over 30 years now, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with greener grass and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This is not a one-size-fits-all type of service. Oh, no. It's a customized treatment for your lawn's specific need. Wet, dry, sunny, or shady, whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, Natural Lawn will deliver the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And right now, we have a special offer for our Fanatic listeners. Schedule your Natural Lawn full service program and receive free seeding every year. That's a free seeding every year. Call Natural Lawn today and tell Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic is brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. Bob Cooney, I'll go to you. What is your favorite sports memory? What makes you feel good when you think about sports?
All right, this is a little off the beaten track, but you guys know me. So the first time I ever went to a Special Olympics day and saw my son Tommy compete and a bunch of other kids from around here. I wrote about it in the paper at the time. I know it sounds corny and all, but
that's awesome.
I've been to thousands of games. We all have. We've seen it all. To spend like 4 or 5 hours watching these kids and watch what excitement they got out of just competing, not winning, not anything else, just competing. I'm telling you guys, I couldn't write enough about it. What a special feeling it was to me. Just being around sports all my life and watching how these kids really appreciated the game that we take so much for granted. It was awesome, and I will never, ever forget a minute of that day, the first time I saw Special Olympics.
Bob, you know me. Do I like inside the box or do I like outside the box? I like outside the box. That's outside the box thinking. I love that. No, to watch that, and I've watched one or two, not in the capacity you have, but oh my God, it is such a great thing. It is a great thing. I told you about the polar bear plunge I did a couple months back now.
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest experiences I ever got to be a part of because that was to raise money for the Special Olympics. That's an incredible one. Jamie, I'll go to you next. Best sports memory.
Mine's actually very in the box. Sorry to let you down, Mark. I thought about this all break, and what I go back to is the championship game versus the Vikings. I was upstairs. It was cold. It was pure joy. The stadium was one big happy family. I was at both NFC championship games, luckily enough, and there was something more special about, sorry, Trey, the more recent one, just because you felt this sense of nobody's stopping us. Like, I really felt that. And then just, you know, living in the city as opposed to Manayunk at the time, walking down Broad Street, sharing in that celebration, hugging and high-fiving random people, you know, the cars honking, people driving up and down the streets like maniacs. It was just so surreal that it's for sure, you know, on my deathbed, I'll look back at, you know, sports memories and flashes of my life, and that will definitely be up there.
All right, Sam, that's a great one. Sam, your best sports memory?
Yeah, my cliche one would be, I guess, the Eagles parade, but my best, like, personal one would be my junior year of high school when my football team, I was, like, the reporter, camera girl, whatever, but since we were so far, it was, like, the state quarterfinal, and since we were so far, I couldn't be on the field, so I was actually with all the students in the student section, and we won to send our team the state championship for the first time ever, and we all, like, rushed the field, and when I hopped the fence, I ripped my pants. So my whole butt cheek was out running on the field. So it was definitely Sam. So exciting, and I'll never forget running up to, like, all, like, my friends on the team, their parents, and being like, look at my butt! It's out!
You know what? We're going to talk about Anna Horford in a little bit, so keep that memory in mind when it comes to...
Yeah, right?
No pants, exactly. You know what? These are some great vibes. So let's go ahead and just kill that. Let's go to Mike in King of Prussia. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you this morning?
Guys, I've missed you. I've really missed you,
so Michael.
I had to call in because I've been. I gotta say, I work more now because I'm working from home. I've been working like 13-hour days because we're international. So I've been on the phone at like 5-6 in the morning, and it sucks. So I missed you guys, and I just wanted to call in and say hello.
Mike,
hey, Mike, man, how's everything going? How's the family?
Let me tell you, this sucks. I hate this. My wife and I are both trying to work from home, and we have an infant running around the house. Like, we can't curtail, and we're on work calls, and we're both just trying to survive. So it's been real tough. I'm actually calling you from a parking lot of a Giant, so I can get groceries. So I'm just sitting here waiting for it to open.
Aww, that's nice, Michael.
So anyway, this Hanukkah thing is stupid. Adam Schefter is stupid.
Unbelievable.
How is this stupid?
All right, rounds 1, 2, 3. I'll even grant you 4 people will watch. Who's watching round 7? What
Me.
Drunken loser is watching Me. Round 7? Guys, some guy is never going to make the team ever. Congratulations. I'm glad you got drafted. No one's watching that, Mark.
Oh, yeah? Jason Kelsey, 6th-round pick. Jalen Mills, 7th-round pick.
Yeah, Jalen Mills,
7th-round pick.
Right. Wasn't Tom Brady a late pick?
Yeah, damn right he was 6th-round pick.
There you go.
Trey Thomas right now is faster than Jalen Mills. Trey Thomas.
I don't know, man. My knee needs to be replaced. So,
I still think he'd be a better safety option than Jalen Mills. So, anyway, that's basically all I got. I miss you guys. I don't have much to talk about, and I hate being cooped up in the house. Going to CVS yesterday to run an errand was probably the highlight of my week. So hope you guys have a great day. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, God bless you, Michael. Yeah, thanks for the call, buddy. There you go. There's the good vibes dashed. Now, my brother's got 3 kids, and it's the 5 of them in the house, him and my sister-in-law and the kids. I said this on Monday. I don't know how people do this with kids running around and stuff like that.
Trying to keep them and stuff.
Oh, my goodness. One of my favorite things I saw posted on social media yesterday was a picture of like a 95-year-old woman. And it said something like, here's Claire, 31 years old, after 5 days of teaching her kids homeschooling. I can't imagine what this time must be. And, you know, you always think about it. No matter how bad you have it, somebody else has it worse. So you try to keep perspective with all that.
Yeah.
The people that have to be as busy, they're required to be as busy as they normally are while working from home with kids at home. my heart goes out to you. I like, hey, look, like right now when you talk about the healthcare workers throwing themselves in the middle of all this, and then when you talk about people that have to adjust both financially and both just their schedules trying to homeschool their kids, you are in my thoughts and prayers. Like, my heart goes out to you for the things that you have to really take on during the hardships that we're all going through right now. God bless every one of you, man. I don't know how you're going to do it.
I felt bad last night. We did my buddy's daughter turned 4, and they had a pizza party planned for her with like her daycare school friends, and obviously that all got canceled. So we all hopped on Zoom last night, a bunch of us and our friends and families and kids, and we basically did like a virtual birthday party for her. Mm. And you know, it's just like, oh man, your heart goes out to this poor little 4-year-old who's all excited to have a pizza party, and then you got to tell her, no, actually, we can't. We're gonna hang out on the computer and have some cake and pizza with some friends.
Mm. Yeah. She still got pizza.
Yeah, she got pizza.
Right side. Do you guys see the kid that turned 21? His parents.
Yeah, I did see that.
That was cool. So the parents make the garage a bar. They told him, go out to the garage. His dad was standing there with sunglasses on, trying to look like a bouncer. The kid walks up and he's like, I need to see your ID. The kid takes out his ID, shows his dad. His dad said, okay, you can go in. He goes in and his mom's playing. They build it up like a bar. His mom's playing bartender, pours him shots. And they did a shot to celebrate his 21st birthday.
That's awesome. That's
yeah, it was
awesome.
Cool. Yeah,
that way to rise above, fam. Way to rise above. Now, Trey, we're going to get into. I think it's going to be a hot button issue here.
Okay,
we talked about a little bit yesterday.
All right,
but Jalen Mills. Now we have audio of it, and it's whether or not Malcolm Jenkins' number should be retired. And Jalen Mills gave his vote during an interview. We'll let you know where that interview was and who he said it to coming up in a minute. And also, he talked about the diversity and the versatility of this Eagles secondary. We'll get into that in a little bit. And overall, people, we're looking to have some smiles today. Overall, your best sports memory. It could be personal. It could be the day you hit a home run in Little League, whatever it was, or it could be something that you were able to share with, I don't know, a stadium full of maybe 67,000 people at Lincoln Financial Field, whatever it might be, your best sports memory. As opening day, my favorite day of the year, has been postponed, at least for the time being. What's your best sports memory to get the good vibes going on this fine Thursday morning? Time at the Fanatic is 6:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So on the same theme of Sam ripping her pants on a fence or something and her butt being exposed in high school, I don't like flip-flopping. I like to, you know, do a lot of reading, do a lot of research, and then come up with an opinion. They'll just try to throw a hot take out there, right? And you know what? I got a flip-flop here. Trey, Anna Horford, if she was my sister, I don't think I'd follow her on social media. I said originally that you think it's funny and you'd follow her anyway and you'd have some ha-has while you were following her if you're Al Horford. But this one just kind of sealed the deal for me because it just kind of lets you know exactly that she's down the clown all the time. Here's the deal. She sees a tweet, and this is actually a good point because I don't know who does this. Somebody tweeted her saying, I don't understand why someone would be wearing jeans inside their home all day. Why would someone do that? Because, like, we're all home right now, so a lot of people, like Jamie, when he was doing our quarantine classic, he wasn't wearing shoes. He's home. No. He's comfortable. Trey put on a shirt today with a collar. Like, that's a huge step today.
Yes.
Not for you, because that's just how you operate, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
But Anna Horton.
But I don't have on any pants.
Nice. I was in my boxer briefs for probably 7 hours. Just cooking, painting, doing it all.
Yeah, just chilling out in my drawers, man. This is just, you know, why not?
What is wrong with you people?
Exactly, why not?
What do you mean? Why is that a problem with us? I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's here, Bob.
Yeah, no one's here. I use a bathroom with the door open. I mean, I'm just saying that.
Living my best life.
Yeah. I like to make beef jerky. I like to poop with the door open. So, all right.
Oh, my God.
Like, in all honesty, like, just that point isolated, before we even get to Anna Horford, that point right there. Like, I literally, a professor I had in college is a professor for advertising, right? I took this ad class as part of my communications degree at Temple. And he always said, when you do phone interviews, and I thought about this even more now that we're all doing the Zooms and the Skypes, and we're right here on Twitch with people. If you're working from home and you have an over-the-phone interview, he said, don't wake up like 10 minutes before the interview and call and do the interview. He goes, get up, go through a full routine as if you're going to a day of work. And then when you do that, you'll feel like you're in a better spot. So today, what I've been doing since we've been working from home since Monday is I actually put a pair of jeans on like I would every day to go into the studio. And like, I feel like I have accomplished something just by wearing jeans. Like, it's not a collared shirt like our friend Trey right there. And you know what it is? It's just it's something that I do as part of my everyday routine. I put on a pair of jeans and I go to work, right?
I heard you were supposed to do that, yeah.
Yeah, that's to any young person listening right now, that's some good advice. It makes you feel like you're yeah, exactly. It makes you feel like you're in control of something. It makes you feel like, hey, not only did I get out of bed today, I actually dressed somewhat like an adult. Way to go me. But who the hell would wear jeans all day around their house while they're self-quarantined? You know what I'm saying? That seems extremely restrictive unless you're wearing I like to call the fat guy jeans that stretch like the ones I'm wearing right now.
I was going to say, some jeans are pretty damn comfortable. If you ditch the belt, like, I've taken naps on the couch and stuff before like that in jeans. As long as it's the right pair, it can be pretty comfortable.
Trey, do you go with the stretchy jeans? Do you have the stretchy jeans?
No, I'm not a stretchy jean guy. You know, but I do. But you know what? It is kind of like the new thing now where it has like a little give in the jeans. It's not the restrictive denim that we all are used to.
It's not the Levi's we grew up with, Trey.
No, it's
stretch fit.
It's a new era right now. So they're comfortable. I do have a couple pairs, but they don't fit me too tight, though. I don't like the tight jeans.
Yeah, no, I was like, jeans for a fat guy? I'll buy 10 pairs. And pretty much I have. I have the elastic-y kind of the jeans going on here, which I enjoy a lot. Now, the regular jeans are probably the most uncomfortable things to sleep in the history of humanity. So that's what the person's arguing here. But then Anna Horford here, our dear friend Anna Horford, who this is a gift that keeps on giving, she says, I don't wear pants at all when I'm at home. Literally, never. That's how it should be. For whatever reason, I don't know if this is the straw that broke the camel's back, whatever. But, like, that's the moment that I was just like, you know what? If I was related to her, I probably wouldn't be following her even a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and admit that I'm going to flip-flop on this opinion, Bob, because I know you argued the other side of this. Yeah, I'm not following Anna Horford if she's my sister.
No, I'm staying as far away from that as I can. And I would have a rule with my friends. Do not tell me anything my sister puts on Twitter or Instagram.
Trey, would you follow Anna?
If I was her brother, no.
If you were Al, you would not follow
Anna?
Yeah,
no.
All right, it's a consensus. Now it's a consensus.
Yeah, no.
All right, John Clark, ladies and gentlemen, NBC Sports Philadelphia, doing yeoman's work when it comes to what's going on with Jalen, what's going on with the Eagles. He's interviewed every new Eagle. We're going to be joined by Will Parks, actually, tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that. But John got to catch up with a guy that's been on the Eagles ever since he's been drafted, and that's Jalen Mills. And we've talked at length about the transition that he's going to have to make here. And he kind of got into the idea that he's not going to have to make that much of a transition when it comes to going to the traditional corner to the traditional safety, because that does not seem to exist anymore. Trey, I remember years ago, even with Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown, there was talk about moving Sheldon Brown to the safety position because he had played that at South Carolina when he was a Gamecock, Bobby. So he had played that position before, and there was talk about moving on from Brian Dawkins. Maybe you do what the Eagles did now, which is, back then, maybe take a corner and move him to the safety position. And I remember then he was talking about playing free safety or talking about playing strong safety and how those positions are really interchangeable at the NFL level. Then you have a guy that is coming in here like Malcolm Jenkins, and he's not only saying that it's almost the same position that he was playing before. He's saying that everybody in this secondary, with all the guys that they've added, whether that be Darius Slay or whether that be most recently a guy like Nickell Roby Coleman, right? So you have him coming in here and playing a position that he is actually a little bit familiar with, considering he's been a corner at the NFL level and he's been a safety at the college level. But here he is talking about the versatility that's going to go on in that secondary this year.
I think our secondary is going to be very, very dynamic. We got a lot of guys who can move in a lot of different places. That's the key at this point. You can't line up in the same looks. You can't have guys in the same spot. Quarterback and offensive coordinators, they latch on and they see that, then you get predictable. So I think as far as that goes, our secondary is going to be very, very dynamic.
So he talks about the versatility. He talks about guys being called upon to do different jobs. And he himself, when he was talking to John Clark in NBC Sports Philly, he was talking about how he's not going to have that much of a transition. I mean, but Trey, I understand the free safety thing here, but the corner position to the safety position? I know that he's always been a physical corner. He's never been the fastest guy, you know, corner in the league. But what he makes up for without speed, he makes up for with being physical, with trying to stay on his man like that. Yes, the double moves, we can all talk about his failures as a corner, but his successes has been because of two things. He's a competitor, and he's a physical player. What do you see here in this transition for him? If he's saying that he can use all his strengths at the cornerback position, even more so at the safety position, do you think it will be that much of a transition for him?
No, you know what? I think moving to safety might suit him a little bit better, because now you're not going to be dealing with the speedsters out there as much one-on-one. You're going to be the over-the-top help. So now you can be in those positions to kind of make sure you're the air traffic control back there, making sure that you can't allow anybody to get by you. You need to make sure that you're the deepest protector. And also, too, when you can get down there, if you need to take on a tight end or a running back, that probably suits him a little bit better than if he has to get out there with some of these faster receivers.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think it'll be that big of a transition?
You know what? With the lack of mini camps, possibly it might be a little bit of a trend, but I think he's going to be able to handle it. I think because Schwartz is going to pour everything into him that he can to get him up to speed.
So what about playing a hybrid position? Because that's kind of the way it's described as well, where he's going to be in cover. He's going to be playing linebacker. He's like Malcolm Jenkins was. He's going to be filling those shoes, or at least attempting to. Maybe not in the leadership role right out of the gate, but just in terms of assignments on the football field, he is looking at it as if he's more of a hybrid corner than he is a hybrid safety linebacker.
That's interesting. Well, he's going to be at that hybrid corner. I don't think you're going to have him stepping down and trying to take on the run, stopping the run like you saw Malcolm Jenkins being that extra guy in the box as much. I think he's going to be more in the backfield, making sure that, you know, he's covering these corners out there on the top end.
Mm-hmm. And Jamie, you talked about this yesterday, and I thought of you when I heard these comments, because maybe it does make it easier for a guy to go from corner to safety when the safety position really isn't that traditional anyway, considering how many times Malcolm came up, considering how many times Malcolm would be in cover, not necessarily the deepest man on the field as traditionally the free safety is supposed to be, but he's talking about a guy that's able to play a little bit more, a position rather, that's supposed to be a little bit more physical than normal.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about Jalen Mills you don't want to lose is his physicality. And, you know, he's not the fastest guy in the world by any means, but he definitely has that ability to put his helmet on somebody. And, you know, with the coverage skills he has, you know, you don't want to lose that. So, yeah, I do think you're going to see, you know, a lot of Ward and him playing at the same times. I really do. I think all the guys they have in here now have a lot of versatility. I mean, you look at a guy like Avante Maddox, who's, you know, projected to be a starting cornerback right now, played safety as well. Nickell Roby, the guy they just brought in, Nickell Roby Coleman. And, you know, he's going to be your, you know, likely your nickelback. And then you got Sidney Jones, who's basically just icing on the cake if you get anything out of him. So you just have a lot of guys that can kind of play all over the field. And I think it's going to be really beneficial, and I think it's going to be the best secondary we've had in many, many years.
All right, before we get to, hold on a second.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they're like, you know, tops of the league or anything, but I just think they're going to be interchangeable. I think you have a lot of, I mean, just the fact you have Darius Slay makes it one of the best secondaries they've had in a long, long time. I just think it's not going to be as big of a learning curve as maybe a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm really curious with this Jalen Mills stuff. And Jamie, I hear you. Like one-on-one battles, he really does fight. You know, there's no the physicality of that. But the difference between that and then lining up at like a linebacker spot and going in and hitting runners and hitting guys like that, I don't know if he's there yet. And I'm anxious to see how Schwartz uses him. Like, do you just say, here's our scheme, you're the new Malcolm Jenkins, or is it, well, he might not be as physical as Malcolm Jenkins. You know, maybe you can't use him in that role. I'm really curious, and I've said it before, but I'm curious to see how they're going to use him there, whether he's more of the, as Trey said, over-the-top safety. Is he the hybrid safety, or is he a guy that you're going to play in the box more? I'm anxious to see.
After winning a Super Bowl, after this team won a Super Bowl, you always, whenever you say something along the lines of best secondary in years when they've won so recently, it always makes you think twice. But then you do think about, you know, Lito and Sheldon and Brian Dawkins in that secondary as well. That was one heck of a second. It's probably their best secondary since then. That's including the years with Asante Samuel. Like a lot of it is because Darius Slay is here now, and a lot of it is because they really build up the versatility. And I think Avante Maddox and Cravon LeBlanc at worst can be serviceable. At worst, be serviceable. And then to bring in a veteran like Roby Coleman, for instance, yeah, you could very much so have the best secondary you've had since, or most diverse secondary you've had at least since the days of Lito, Sheldon, and Doc all back there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.